to this, the 28th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
Not for 20 years have I been walking, so I'm a little sleep deprived. Happy Easter, but...
Yes, happy Easter. Yes. We're doing it.
And Ryan's in the background giggling.
Yeah, giggling like a fool.
Giggling and... Maybe too much Easter candy. I don't know, but it's...
We're doing
back medicine, laying on some ice, doing a podcast.
And it's just cold in Michigan. And
sunny, but cold.
Sunny and cold, yes.
Yeah.
I'm done. You take this over, Mr. Dan.
Well, what we're talking about today, and this is something that we have heard a lot lately. We were in like an online support group this last week, and it's just the notion of, and it's the one of the many things that people with MS are dealing with or that we face, and it's the comment of, but you look so good. And I mean, it's just a comment that you get from somebody, like just somebody who like, oh, you have MS, oh, but you look so good.
Yeah, the assuming that the all diseases have a visual aspect or whatever.
Well, and I would rather have someone say you look so good than rather say, oh, Jennifer, you must have MS. You look like hell. You're looking rough around there. That multiple sclerosis is getting to you.
And we're talking about that just in terms of there's just so many different ways to think and look at that. And I mean, we're opening this up to really dig into the conversation because for me, I'm always like, I take it as a compliment, this like, oh, but you look so good. And I'm thinking, why, thank you. And I feel like, I don't feel like $1 million, but you know, 999,000 maybe. But I always used to take it as a compliment. And so it almost like I didn't understand, but I understood why it upset so many people living with the disease. And Jennifer, you look pensive, like...
I don't understand. Again, I would be offended if someone told me, and I've told you, Dan, a bajillion times, if you tell me that I look like I don't feel well.
You look tired.
I look tired or old. And I'm like, well, that's just basically telling me I look like crap warmed over today. And so if someone said to me, oh, you look so good, I'm like, thank you. Look at me. You know, I'm showing multiple sclerosis that it's not controlling my appearance or it's not making it known for me. I don't know. I mean, if you had like a noticeable limp, I don't think someone would say, oh, Dan, what's wrong with you? Why are you limping? I mean, potentially they would, but to say, oh, you look so good.
And to which I would say, why is that a problem? And I throw that out because I get it. For everybody living with MS, I understand why it would, because people say, I don't want to look good. And people say that, but they don't really understand what's going on and the pain I feel inside. And you know, sometimes I don't understand it and I'm living with the disease. So why would I put that on anybody else to think they're going to understand what I'm dealing with? And I'd rather they just, because then too, that's something that I always wonder. And I don't want to pontificate. That's not the point. I think it's just like bringing this out to put a different perspective or just to think things through. But it's like we expect everybody to understand our position, but do we owe them and ourselves at the same time the time to just pause and put ourselves in their shoes, you know, whoever's saying that? And is it like somebody who isn't plain going to get it? And we, like if it's a family member who for years has not understood and keeps coming back and saying, oh, but you look so good, and not taking it as a reality? Or is it somebody like a stranger on the street or something, or an acquaintance who just finds out that you have MS? I mean, put yourself in their shoes and maybe they're just trying to give you encouragement. I mean, ill-founded encouragement, but at the same time, what else would we want them to say? And I mean, obviously there are answers we would want them to say, but at the same time, if we don't have that time to really talk to them and engage in conversation, then what difference does it make?
Yeah, I kind of take it as sort of like one of those things where someone doesn't know the right thing to say and they want to be encouraging or positive or something, and they just grab maybe the first thing they could notice. It's like, well, you don't look sick. And that's like kind of the nicest way to say it.
Yeah.
But I mean that used to be huge with everybody, is the keeping up appearances things. Like, you'd still walk tall even though you're, you know, not doing great.
Well, like for you, Ryan, for instance, right now your back is bothering you. And,
yep.
And if I saw you and I said, well, Ryan, you don't look bad.
Yep, yeah. So how do you explain a backache? Except for when I'm walking and you can see me grabbing my back going, oh, gosh.
Right. And so that empathy, that sympathy, that understanding, people with MS don't hold the market on that. As much as we want people to be understanding and empathetic with us, we need to turn that around. And, you know, if I see Ryan walking and like, oh, my back, you know, I wouldn't say, oh, Ryan, it doesn't look like it's that bad. Yeah. You look pretty good, even though your back's killing you. I guess we kind of need to expect or want that same thing. It was just an interesting conversation the other night, and it just kind of made us think, you know, there are nearly a million Americans living with MS. What do we want from the rest of the world? You know, you don't hear people with cancer saying, oh, I need this, this, and this, or maybe I'm ignorant to that. Maybe people who have heart disease or diabetics, they're needing help, and maybe I'm stuck in a multiple sclerosis bubble. But in the community, we hear a lot of people say, well, don't tell me I don't look sick or I look so good. I don't know.
Well, I guess Grandma's infusion center here in town, one of the other patients knits little hats in her time when she's getting her medication, and just as for something to do or whatever. And then they put them out in a little basket for people, because, you know, a lot of people with cancer lose their hair and all that. And so she just knits everybody a lot of these little hats, and Grandma got one, and it's purple, and it's got a little flower on it. It's real cute. And every place we go, every time we go, one of the nurses always says, that's the cutest little hat. And, like, it's just, she's there, and they're trying to give her something. I don't know, because...
Yeah. Some sort of positive feedback.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it is, it could just be a misunderstanding of, you know, like, just the condition and what it carries with it and all that sort of thing. It's like kind of that dumb thing idiots do on Twitter. Like, some guys will tweet about depression and they'll say, oh, just don't be sad, just get over it. It's like, that's not the way it works.
No.
Exactly. It's like, it's in your brain. It's not me feeling sad for myself. It's my brain releasing the wrong chemicals at the wrong time.
And with multiple sclerosis, we have to be maybe a little more open to comments like that, because you're right, Ryan, it is an uncomfortable subject to broach. Or, you know, think about Dan, our parents, when we were first diagnosed, just all the questions they had, and our friends, they continue to have questions.
And, well, and to me, I'm not saying that the, you know, the comments, you know, you look so good, I'm not saying that shouldn't make us, you know, people with MS mad. I get it, and I understand. All I'm trying to say is, like, just find, you know, other ways to look at it. I mean, and because you're right, Ryan. Yeah, just
context.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, where's it coming from? Who's it coming from? Where is the heart of the person who's saying it? Is like, are they doing it to like discredit your realities, or is it their not knowing what to say other than just something as an encouraging thing? And I think that's all I would love to have people there to be encouraging. And then, you know, how then do I respond as a person living with MS and to say, well, thank you. you know, and just it's a matter of educating, but not insulting or not putting people on the defensive, because I think I'd say like 80-90% of the time people aren't saying it to be a jerk.
Yeah.
No, and dovetailing off that, and it's one of those comments that as a wheelchair user, it kind of makes me crazy sometimes when I'm going out at a store or going out to dinner and someone will say, oh, I wish I had one of those, and motion towards my wheelchair. And I think, you know, sometimes you catch me in the right crusty mood and I'd say, oh, you want a disability? Here, have mine. But it doesn't work like that. And they just mean the wheelchair, and it could simply be because they're tired. Or in Ryan's case, you know, I don't think he would ever say that. But maybe if your back's hurting and you don't feel like walking. And so you
I'm
have
not there yet, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. But I mean, sometimes that can be a little abrasive where you're like, hello. I have a chronic illness.
Talking about a thing you don't like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm envious of this thing you hate.
Well, and wheelchairs, you know, disability makes people uncomfortable, and they may step on their tongues or whatever, saying things just because it's a little awkward. So I think we need to give people, again, it's Easter, and the word for today is give people a little more grace, that they're not coming at this from a bad way. They're just hopefully uninformed or...
Yeah, it is just a matter then of educating, using it as a teaching moment. So I think it's like, I have enough as a person living with MS to be angry about, to hate the world about, but it's like how, you know, but I mean...
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
I don't hate the world, but it's like there's so many things I could be angry about, but it's just a matter of looking at things in a different way. And I think that's all... You know, in terms of suggestions and saying, it's just like, or maybe it's just reminding myself, just look at things in a different way.
Even just self-preservation, picking your battles, yes. You know, for where you're spending your energy.
Exactly. And I think that's where, you know, in terms of the levels of empathy, it's like, you know, empathy is a two-way street. And it's like, if we want people to be empathetic, we being people with multiple sclerosis, I mean, you need to give other people that, as Jennifer said, give them that grace and that latitude. And again, now I'm repeating myself, but it's just like, where are the people coming from and what is their intent? And when they say it, not all offenders are created equal. If that makes sense. Yeah, it's just like, who's saying it? Why would, you know, and I don't know.
Consider the source.
And never underestimate the power of a deep breath. Because if somebody says something like that at a grocery store or in a support group meeting where you can, instead of flying off the handle, just try and, you know, consider that person's feelings. But sometimes it can be...
I've had a couple of close calls in public lately because I'm not the best person in a crowd. And I've been in Kroger and other places shopping, and I try to take a deep breath. But I guess my exhales sound angry because I get a lot of looks.
Yes.
So I'm just like standing behind a lady that is literally has her cart parked all the way across the aisle. And it's just oblivious that there are like five people standing there. Like, why? Just pay attention for two seconds.
Or the people that stop and they like strike up a conversation in a busy grocery store. You're like, oh, but I just need to get. And yeah, that can be just a little deep sigh. Sometimes people need to realize there are other people trying to grocery shop.
I fell off it, but for a while I was only shopping past 11 p.m. It was great. But I have a question for you guys, though, because you guys are way more positive than I am. How often do you have to do that where you just conserve your energy and be like, I'm not going to explain... Well, you know, what that actually means to them or what this means to them. I'm just going to say, oh, yeah, and then go about my day.
I would say probably once every three to five months. I I think it comes from a pure place where people are tired and or they're older and they're struggling themselves. Oh, I wish I had one of those today. And, you know, let's just be honest, Ryan.
Well, that's understandable.
I'm a cute girl and people are just friendly. And even with a mask, you know, I try.
Weird, I don't have that problem ever.
No, I'm being totally full of myself again. I had a lot of Easter candy today and I'm just like all sugared up. But just wheelchairs can make people uncomfortable. And I know, so it can be a little jarring. And, you know, there are those people that want to put a smile on your face and their yeah. sense of humor is no way like yours, where they're like, har, har, I wish I had one of those today. So, but yeah, it happens. But if you get me in the crusty mood, sometimes I'm muttering under my breath, boy, I wish I had your legs today. And
yeah, right.
You know, as far as when we talk teachable moments, is this a person that you're going to see again? Is this, or is this just somebody passing by in the store? And then it's just like, is it really worth it? I mean, obviously, yeah, you want to educate the world, but then sometimes it's like, how much do you really want to get into it today? And if it's a family member or somebody you know you're going to see again, then yeah, teach them, educate them in a kind way. I think that's always the big thing, is just always be kind. Always, sometimes they get tired of taking the high road. but it's just,
yeah, like, you got to climb that damn hill to get up there.
Oh my God, I'm so tired. Yeah.
And a teachable moment, like you were saying, is the handicap parking placard. We know so many people, it's an MS thing where they're like, oh, I use my handicap parking sticker and someone said something like, you don't look like you need that. Or I know personally, when I first started using my handicap placard, and I still was able to walk, I would, you know, I wouldn't exaggerate a limp, but, you know, I just wanted people to know I have multiple sclerosis. Right now I'm walking good, but when I walk out of the store, it's going to be really clear. So I think that too.
Man, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because some people, they use the handicap placard and they look perfectly like they have nothing wrong with them. And they can get comments, and so we need to, again, to steal your phrase, make it a teachable moment. Yes, right now you may think I don't need it, but I have MS, and an hour after walking, my limp will be noticeable.
And I always thought that when Jennifer was taking grad classes, it was after work. And I would go and run. So, you know, park in the handicapped spot there. Jennifer's up in class. I would do that. I'd go and run, you know, the 3-4 miles. I'd come back and I'd have water in the van. And keep in mind, there's a handicap sticker on the van. And I just got done running and I'm busting into a car or a handicap into a van with a handicap sticker. And I think that's where, you know, in my head, I kind of had that preconceived, planned in my head, said teachable moment. Yeah. And you know, and just if anyone were to say, why do you have that? I could educate them about Jennifer's multiple sclerosis and then, you know, drop the bomb, OBTW, I have it too, but I have a different form of it. You know, but I think it is just, is that part of our issue too? Is like that those of us living with a chronic illness, you know, and Ryan with, you know, if you got a bad back and things like that, it's almost like you have a file cabinet full of what you're going to say if anyone were say something. You like have that, you know, and so just so you do it in a calm manner and you don't fly off the handle if they fly off the handle first, you know, and that, again, kindness.
Yeah.
Trying to anticipate the reactions of others so that you have to justify your existence.
And, you know, and Ryan, when we were talking, Jennifer and I were talking about these things, to which then I ask her, you know, ye who needs to use a wheelchair and everything, do you ever get the, oh, but you look so good? Because it's like when you have an invisible illness, people assume everything's fine, but when you have to use an assistive device to get around, all of a sudden your illness is visible. Do people come at you more, "I wish I had one of those today," versus, "Oh, but you look so good"?
That's a really good question.
I used to be a reporter.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I think I would rather have people say, "Oh, I wish I had one of those today," than just ignore me, because it makes them uncomfortable that I'm in a wheelchair and not see me because I'm 2 feet shorter than them sitting in my chair, even though I'm quite tall.
You make a good point there. Just like, is that something where it's not the best thing to be said to you, but at least they're noticing you?
It's easy to, if something makes you uncomfortable, to just ignore it. So if they recognize, or if someone talks to you, if we're out in a store and they talk to you instead of talking to me because I'm in a wheelchair. Yeah, so I would rather have someone say something to me and recognize that I'm there. That's a good point. But no, it would be interesting if someone would see me in a wheelchair and say, "But you look so good. Like, even though you're in a wheelchair." And then it's
they can still look good.
I guess what...
I mean, if I was pushing grandma in a wheelchair and she had her fancy purple hat on, somebody would probably still say, "That's a cute purple hat."
Yes, I'm sure. Disability is, I mean, it's interesting. I think we're more aware of it, all three of us, because we have aspects of it in our life. And, you know, I would be curious, able-bodied people, if they even notice. Or people that are newly diagnosed, if they see a person in a wheelchair. I remember when when people call or send me something about coming to our support group meetings, I like to give them the heads up that I'm in a wheelchair, because I don't want them to feel awkward if they're newly diagnosed, because this is what most people are afraid of, is a future where you're in a chair. So again, it's better to be noticed than ignored.
When I think of that too, when somebody says, "Oh, but you look so good," to which I want to say, obviously we say thank you, but then it's just like, how awesome is that though, that that's your reality, that you're in pain. I'm in pain with this disease, and nobody can see it. Yet the reason people are saying that to me is because I'm still able to be out in the public and do things, and I'm out, you know. And to which then it's like, celebrate me, celebrate where, you know, what I'm doing, and give me the confidence that I need. And so it's like, "Oh, but I look so good, but I can do all this," and no one sees the pain or that which I'm dealing with, everything that I had to go through to get to this point, to be out in public, to where somebody can say, "Oh, but you look so good," that I can have this conversation where they feel comfortable pointing that out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pulled your trick the other day, Dan, that you'd mentioned one time. I try to walk a lot, and with my back, like, it's, you know, sometimes it's kind of a trial. Like, it really, like, my hip has been messed up the last month or two. And the other day I was walking and I could just feel my legs starting to tighten up. And I was like, "Oh, I want to stop and stretch, but I don't want to, like, there are people at this intersection and I don't want to look weird." So I just bent down and tied my shoe until everybody left. And then yes. I was just like, "Okay, good. Now I can, like, stretch my legs and, like, not have everybody looking at me like, what's he doing, running a marathon in his jeans?" It's like, no, my hip is tense.
Yeah. But it worked, didn't it?
I was so I get weirdly self-conscious about the strangest things. It's like, why do I give a crap that somebody sees me stretching? But for some reason, I do.
It works, because I do
that. Yeah, I mean, totally. Like, it's like, oh, this is great.
I walk around our neighborhood, and that's just where I've, you know, from going, you know, 4 miles running to now, is just like, it's an accomplishment to walk around the neighborhood. But it's like, I get tired about the halfway point. Yeah, I stop and tie my shoe. Just even though it's fully tied, it's like I just, my legs need to rest, but I just don't want to stand there in the road in the neighborhood, just like stand there and stretch in the middle of the hood, so to speak. And that's why I don't want a dog, but like when we have a dog and we're dog sitting, just to walk the dog, because that gives me the excuse to stop. You know, because the dog has to stop and sniff, you know, everything. And it's just like, thank you, dog.
Oh, man. When you guys had Bean, you should have taken him for a walk. You get about an inch an hour.
I was going to say, I don't think he would have.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Let him out on a leash once, and it took him about 20 minutes to get through our tiny little yard. Like every time he put a foot down, he would stop and listen. She's like, did anybody hear me?
Bean cares about what the others are thinking.
He kept looking up like an eagle was going to screech down and get him.
He is a smart cat. He's aware of his surroundings.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, since I kicked this off, I'm going to stop here for a moment.
Yes.
We can collect our thoughts. We can all think clearly about a moment of joy this week.
Yes.
I think my moment of joy happened Monday.
Okay.
I was able to have my Rituxan infusion. I use, I'm not endorsing a drug. I'm just endorsing being on a disease-modifying therapy. If you have multiple sclerosis and I use Rituxan, and that's an infusion medicine. And my moment of joy, I've been living with MS forever and getting infusion medicines since the beginning. I mean, almost 5 years after diagnosis. And I've always had a hard time getting my IV started. And nurses have recommended getting a port, and I always feel responsible that I'm not hydrated. But my nurse Monday said, oh, it's because you're cold. It's when you're cold, your veins are harder to get into. So just buy some cheap, like, little hand warmers and warm the spot up first. Maybe that'll make it easier. So when I get my infusion in 2 weeks, I'm going to have hand warmers. So my moment of joy, if you're living with MS, because I know so many of us in the community talk about getting infusions and we have hard veins to start. I think my moment of joy is just to be warm, and being hydrated can't hurt. So, yeah.
Nice.
What about you, Dan? What's your moment of joy?
My moment of joy actually came yesterday. We made coffee cake because, you know, Easter morning between services, there's, you know, they have like a breakfast, brunch sort of thing. And I wanted to take our coffee cake up there on Saturday just so I didn't have to worry about it Sunday, you know, because we got to get to church early. So I said, let me do this. And it was so, so heartwarming because I went into the fellowship hall and just that you don't realize, it's like, well, duh, of course it's already decorated, Dan, but I just walked in. So the church is, you know, peaceful, quiet, nobody else is there, and just walk in and everything's just decorated in vibrant Easter colors and pastels with the tablecloths and things, just because the church had been so dark for, you know, Good Friday and Maundy Thursday and stuff. But it's just like all this vibrant colors, like it was just so cute. I'm just like, it was just so heartwarming. It's just like, that's what Easter is. It was just like, and then it's the greatest appreciation then for whoever, I think it was the youth of the church that had it, that came in, you know, whenever, but somebody had to be responsible for doing it. So it was just like, how awesome was this glorified color decoration and stuff, and just the appreciation for the people that had to do it, and, you know, and nobody saw it because they did it like little ninjas. And so it was just very, it was just heartwarming. It was like,
it's so especially pretty. Nice because we haven't been able to have an Easter breakfast for two years because of the pandemic. That's sweet. And Dan even snapped a picture.
I wanted Jennifer to see it.
So when he came home, he showed me They did a good job, right?
So that was my moment of joy.
Nice. Now, Ryan, what about you?
I got a little fun one to just end it. I was going for a walk the other day, and you know how, like, when you see some dogs and when they open their mouth, it looks like they're smiling?
Yes.
I was walking down this road, and a black something SUV comes going by, and one of the back windows is open, and I see a dog's head just looking the other way, and then the head turns and looks at me, and we're going opposite directions. He tracks me as he's going by, and I look at him, and he looks at me straight in the eyes, and then he does the thing that opens his mouth and smiles at me. And I was like, that was so much fun. Oh, man. It was just like, I was just kind of like in my own head, and then I just saw this. Oh, darn it. Oh, what is that dog? Nuts. Little short jerks. Corgi. There we go.
Okay.
It was a little corgi, just a bright kind of white and yellow. Just had, like, as soon as he just turned his, like, was watching me walk. It was, he's like, hey, I'd like to do that too. It was pretty good.
That's a fun moment of joy. That's good.
Yep. Made me smile.
And just you telling that story, Ryan, that made both Dan and me just smile. I mean, just animals.
See, moment of joy right there.
Moment of joy. And we hope that makes the listeners out there in listener land smile with our moments of joy.
Yeah, we should ask for listener submissions for moments of joy.
That's a wonderful idea.
If you have a good moment of joy, email me and I'll read it, or Dan or Jen. We'll read it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Nice.
So where can they email you, Ryan?
It is ACTOMSpodcast@gmail.com.
Very nice. And it would be nice. And also, when you're emailing, if there's something that you want to talk about, something you're living with multiple sclerosis and you want to hear a couple takes on MS, take on that, or any ideas or suggestions, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Or you could give us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. 5 stars or better. It really does help with promoting the podcast if people that listen to it like and share it and all that. So
yes,
if you do
please.
Like and share it, please.
I think it's just because we put ourselves out there. And it's just like we want to hear from people just to know what more can we do and share it with others. Because, I mean, it's like we have here just our two perspectives, and we want to hear from others.
It is kind of hard talking into a void sometimes. You do want the echo back sometimes.
Yes.
Even if it's just like a distant someone going, you're doing good.
That would be nice. And it is a big community, and we would love to hear other people's voices and what their experiences are. So this has been Dan and Jennifer Dickman with A Couple Takes on MS, episode 28. He's walking.
And she's rolling.
And Ryan's listening, and it's awesome.
I like being included. That was nice.